Survivor Specials, Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 44 Episode 6 recap. Sorry for the delay there, but we are here a little later than usual. I'm seeing the comments. People are heckling, and I'll take
staying up all night.
I know. I'll take all the blame for this one. It was my fault for allowing Alexa to have a say in what time we start. So
I was like, are you about to fall on the sword for me? Because in my eons of podcasting with you.
No, it was Alexa.
Yeah, it was 100% me. I was doing that thing where every 10 minutes I was like, I'll let you know. And that, you know, is about as helpful.
It started at like 8:15, then it was 8:30, then it was 8:45, then it was 9:15. And then it was like, I'll see you next Wednesday. And I was like, okay.
I thought it was Tuesday.
Yeah. But anyway, we're here. We're back to break down the also exciting fake merge episode of Survivor 44, Episode 6. I'm trying to get my best Stephen Wright impression going. If you don't know who Stephen Wright is, he's a not from Survivor. Stephen Wright, the comedian. He's a comedian who just spits out zingers. If anybody's ever seen Reservoir Dogs, he's the guy who does the voice of the. And now we're gonna play a next song from whatever, and he does. It's so monotone. That's how I feel as I say the all so exciting episode 6 recap for Survivor 44. I'm not a fan. Snooze Fest 2023. Yeah.
I really enjoyed this episode.
Wow. And that tells you everything about it, whether or not Alexa actually watched the episode. So yeah. I want to know what actually happened. No, I'll get mine out of the way and then I'll let you be the positive reinforcement because people will like to hear you say all the nice things.
And these are real. Like
I'm excited to hear you talk about it and hear you go against me, but I'm going to say this right now. Knew it was Josh from the moment somebody said, man, Josh should go home. And then Josh was like, I'm great at this game. Knew he was toast. This was, and everybody's going to get tired of me saying it, but it's kind of like, I don't know how much people pay attention to like sports stuff, but like there's certain sports people who are talking a lot about the women's national championship and they won't stop talking about it. And people aren't realizing the reason they keep talking about it is because like, first, it was what they believed, but now it's just like, okay, now I'm making money on it. I'm going to tell you all right now, I'm not saying this because it's helping us get views. I hate the puzzle thing so much. And if you're tired of listening to it, like,
don't listen because we're going to talk about it.
But like, here we go. It's fucking bullshit. Okay. Boom. Right off the bat, we're 2 minutes and 45 seconds in. This isn't made for children. I can't stand it. Like, I can't stand it. It's a joke. It's stupid. I hate every second of it. And I'm gonna be honest with you, it's taking me out of it. Mm-hmm. It really is taking me out of it. And, you know, I saw, like, I was reading the chat before this and everybody's like, Phil's gonna go on a rant about this. I don't even need to rant about it anymore, but I'm just gonna say, like, I don't know how much the Survivor producers get paid. I don't give a crap how much they get paid. I really don't care. But man, I would love to have a job where I can be that damn lazy and just get paid for it. Like, I'm sorry, but it's bogus. It's stupid. I'm not enjoying it. Good on Carson. I don't want people to take this wrong against Carson. Good on Carson for doing what he needed to do. And I saw Zach Wurtenberger had the tweet of, oh yeah, he 3D printed that boulder too. The boulders don't mean anything in New School Survivor. It's all about the puzzle. Everybody knows that. It's puzzle, 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 puzzle.
Which is unfortunate because the boulder is like the coolest thing to come out of a challenge in like the past 8 seasons. Like I love that. And we've talked a lot about how like pre-merge challenges have been very physical and like how that has a ripple effect on the game. But I agree. I will caveat that. My eyes rolled out of my face as soon as that, like Carson put that first one in. I was like, he 3D printed this. And it's like, and I know that because he tweets about it. And to your point, to Jeff's point that he says on his podcast, go do it. And I understand the wanting people to prepare. And that's like, that's exciting. It shows that you care. But first of all, not everyone can just get a 3D printer. No. I don't care that they're $200. That's still a lot of money. And that's a lot of time. And a lot of people don't have time. And so I didn't care because I knew they were going to win as soon as that happened. But the beginning of the challenge, I thought was cool because I think that boulder's ridiculous. And as much as there's always a whole moment with climbing up the wall, at least that was hard. At least Jamie really couldn't do that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm totally 100% with you on that one. That was.
Yeah.
And I'm frustrated that it is only going to get worse.
Yeah. Which is stupid. Cause I'm going to be honest. It ruined the whole challenge for me because I knew the whole time that Carson was just going to get up there and do it in 5 seconds. And I will say this, like, as much as I will sit here and defend Carson and say, like, good for him, he should be going and doing this. The one thing people need to understand is this doesn't make him good at Survivor. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm not hating on Carson in any way. I think Carson is
I'm one shocked of the top- no one called it out or no one said anything.
Yeah, I think he's one of the top three people to win this season for sure. And if he wins the game, he's worthy, all of that. Whatever. She should have
thrown him under the wall. Unbelievable comment.
But I just, like, I get annoyed when people are like, wow, he's so good. Look at this. Like,
no.
You're copy and pasting. If every week the crossword puzzle was the same, every Monday it was the same crossword puzzle, every Tuesday it was the same crossword puzzle, or maybe, here's better for you, you knew the Monday crossword puzzle was going to be happening at some point the next week. You just didn't know if it was going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, but you knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. That's all this is. When you do a puzzle once, it's not hard. Like, it's stupid, and it's frustrating because Will said it when we had him on, and Will has done stuff with the challenge department.
Dare we say made challenges?
Yeah, dare we say? I mean, it's out there. You can go see it. There's a video with Dalton Ross or with somebody where Will made the one challenge with the puzzle, whatever. You can have iterations that are similar, but you can't have it be the exact same thing. Because when it's the exact, there's no skill involved in that. That's like sitting down and watching Anchorman with somebody who's quoting the movie. That doesn't mean that they're good at predicting what's going to be said. They've seen the movie a bunch.
And there's no challenge there when just last week, and like, we'll talk about the fact that Matthew just was totally glossed over. Like, this was just went over. But just last week, Jeff is telling Matthew, who, like, his arm is falling off, that Survivor is such a challenge. It's so hard.
Easiest thing
you ever. Can study for it now.
Yeah.
And not in the way that you can study, like, the social trends of it. You don't even have to do that anymore. It's frustrating.
Yeah, you don't have to study the social trends of it. You can go out there, keep your name out of people's mouths, and just do the puzzles. I mean, have 3D printed your puzzles. Like, Survivor is a lot of luck now. Which
Danny, like, said. I feel like he's the first person to say that out loud in a while.
Oh, I feel like what my frustration is that they're showing a lot of these things that we're complaining about, and they're not trying to show them in a negative light.
Oh, no, listen to Jeff's podcast. Someone was asked about it, and he directly said he loved it.
Yeah, that's great. Jeff's totally out of touch. I'll say that. Where's Jeff? Jeff, get me on the Jeff phone. I'm going to email that one email that obviously nobody was ever looking at. I'm going to email that and say, Jeff, you're out of touch. Like, you are clueless as to what people want. And I don't care what their little, like, internal things are saying. Who's responding to those internal things? It's a joke right now. I'm sorry. But anyway, tell me what you liked about it, because I just threw my pen on the floor. So
there's
what do you
a pen
got?
On the floor, and Phil Phil won't be able to do predictions because
I have a whole jar of pens.
A whole stack of pens
in the mug you got me. Do you know what that says? Don't say it.
I'm laughing because you have the exact same black and blue pens. That's kind of serial killery.
It is. Yeah, I am.
It's the exact same ones. Anyways, coughing it up, trying not to laugh there. What I liked is, in the grand scheme of Merge episodes, the idol was a conversation topic, but I thought it was funny because I knew it was fake. And there was a lot of human dynamic in it. The intro with Tika and Carolyn, like, I don't know, trying to speak Spanish was hilarious. Yeah. I thought that was very real. And I think we got to see a really interesting, like, fleshed out group of three there. Carolyn is continuing to just be ignored. And for what it's worth, this opinion also comes from my girl Aurora. I saw her tweeting this right before we went live. We can sit here and be like, oh my God, it's so obvious it's fake. I understand why people thought that it could be real, but what's so frustrating, I have to assume for Carolyn, and even as a Carolyn fan, like, she is not even, people don't even look at her. And that's really frustrating, but that is frustrating from a social perspective. So that makes me care more. That makes me really excited. I knew Josh or Jamie were going home as soon as they started talking. So then when Jamie was safe, I was like, okay, it's probably Josh. Mm-hmm. But with people, yes, I did also just like watching Franny and Matt hold hands. We'll get to them. But what I liked is Josh and Jam Jam, it was really flowing between them, but not in a confusing way. It wasn't like, okay, this, and then Danny, and then Heidi, and Lauren, maybe? Who's Lauren? Like that, it was Josh, Jam Jam, Kane, and it was very clear why it was them. And I hoped Josh was going to go home, but I wasn't totally sure. And the votes ended out really weird. Like Carolyn is the only one who voted for Kane, and Josh, Brandon, and Kane voted for Jam Jam. Everyone else voted for Josh. So I think that dynamic was really interesting to me, and especially Matt saying like, I need everybody to get on board somewhere so that nobody finds out. And for what it's worth, people figured it out. I have a lot more to say, but I'll stop there.
I'll throw up this comment from La Morena. Carolyn is the smartest. And
literally.
I literally don't disagree. Here's the one thing I will say, because I think it needs to be said, right? I get her frustration, but Jeff said it at the tribal council tonight. When you're watching at home, you know everything. When you're on the island, you don't. We don't know. They don't know as players that Carolyn is telling them the truth about everything. They don't know that Josh is on the outs. They don't know. Like, her story was very compelling, but also why not tell Carolyn to tell that story if you're actually close with Josh? Like, I get you can't take anything anybody's saying in Survivor. I actually think this was maybe the first time all season that people actually were respecting Carolyn.
Really?
Because I think they weren't taking what she was saying at face value, which you should never take what somebody's saying at face value in Survivor if you actually think they're threatening or intelligent. And I think that they were like, she could be making this whole story up. Why not?
That's fair. I think it was framed from a television standpoint as more disregard rather than like, because there was like that awkward pause. And then I think it was Franny who was like, so anyway, let's continue to talk about that. But that is a really fair point, because I think as someone who knows Carolyn, as someone watching Carolyn, like, because we're personal friends, someone watching her, I'm like, she is not lying. Like, she is like so frustrated that it's clear that she's not lying. But that's so clearly from someone who knows everything, knows exactly what's going on. So that is a fair point. I think I still view it as disregard, but that is that's a good point.
Well, and the thing is too, like with Carolyn, we're seeing her be so frustrated because we've also seen her be right and accurate every time she said something. They don't know.
She hasn't been wrong.
And she's been disregarded a couple times. But the one thing is that I always go back to is like, Rupert was the biggest hero in Pearl Islands. And when he played on Heroes versus Villains, everybody was like, man, he is whiny. And when he played on All Stars, everybody was like, man, he is whiny. And I mean, people from Heroes versus Villains will be like, yeah, like they didn't even get close to what Rupert was really like. And he was being viewed as more annoying. And there's an edit. There's such a heavy edit to make characters the way you want to make them. Carolyn can't be anything other than the underdog. She literally can't. She can't be the favorite. She can't be. She needs to be the underdog. The editors can't edit her any other way because her confessionals don't make sense as somebody who's playing top dog. Yeah. So they have to consistently make it look like she's up against it. And Carolyn is giving them confessionals that are making her seem more up against it than she is because she is so unbelievably frustrated that she's been correct the whole time. I think it's just working well for the editors and for Carolyn right now to make her seem like she's something that she's really not. And of course they're not going to show the other side being like, well, I trust Carolyn, but I need to check further into it because that's not the role Carolyn's playing right now. Like, she is being pigeonholed.
It's giving, not to be a Gen Zer. It's Marianne and Gabler. It's a lot of that. to mm-hmm. hop on the Carolyn Winter train. But to go backwards a little bit, Josh was in trouble walking onto the speech, but then he starts walking and Brandon's like, so you got the cage idol? And he's like, yeah. And then like, he even said, he's like, I don't even know how to keep all this straight. And that was another thing that maybe they just didn't show behind the scenes, but that was something that was bothering me from the Soka side, because they think that Matt has some form of cage idol. So that means there is a cage idol, an extra idol, and the journey idol, which unfortunately is probably a pretty realistic situation. But I thought that was weird that they didn't fact check that, because that further proves that Carolyn's right and also further proves that Josh is lying. But it worked out anyway.
I do feel like something was lost in translation with this Josh thing, because I agree with you. I feel like everybody knew Josh didn't have an idol. I feel like they knew it. But they
piled all their votes on him.
And I also don't think Soka wanted to reveal that Matt had the idol, though, because I think Soka is the closest out of all the tribes. I think those four are tight. And the one thing that kept happening, so Danny didn't have a confessional tonight, which I thought was interesting and probably damaging to his winner perspective or whatever, winning chances, because he didn't have a confessional tonight. And ultimately, Danny was a pretty popular player. He was a power player for sure. And he had the idol, but the one thing that they kept doing every time they would talk about the green idol, they would show Danny. I mean, Danny, for somebody who didn't have a confessional tonight, was on screen a lot tonight, and he was talking and he was doing things. But I also think, like, going back to what the edit is trying to tell you, to have the story and throw in a random clip of Danny being like, I have the idol, but I'm not going to tell anybody. We already know that. We already know that they don't need to do that. Like, a lot of times Survivor editors will anyway, but they don't need to do that. So I think Soka was trying to figure out, what do we tell the others? But to get into that tonight on a boot that was pretty obvious and ultimately was for a player who wasn't going to make the jury was too much for the editors to kind of handle. They had to focus in on certain things, and that just wasn't one of the things to focus on.
Exactly. And I'm glad they didn't, because this was Jam Jam and Josh's episode. And really the only, I think the main thing we heard from Danny was him kind of like stiff arming Jam Jam a little bit. And I felt like we saw a different side of Jam Jam. We saw a more desperate side of him. And I feel like we've always seen him in control. And it's been really, it was really interesting to see him like realize where he stood and realize that his own like way of self could be like getting in the way of it, but then he ends up prevailing anyway. I thought that was really, really well done. I loved him and Josh together. They were like Dom and Chris a little bit. Like when Josh goes over and he's like, all right, we got to work together. And he kind of grabs his cheeks. I was like, he may strangle him or kiss him.
Yeah.
And Jam Jam was like, kind of said that exact same thing.
Yeah.
And then he asked him for his fake idol. And I thought that was unbelievable.
It was very funny. Yeah. They were fun to watch together.
Yeah.
It was funny to see Josh, who was barely on screen for the first three episodes of the season,
he had a wild ride. A
focal point for the next three. I mean, everything was about Josh these last 3 weeks, and good for him. I mean, you know, I'm happy about it, but I just think they got rid of the right person. I would love to know why Josh wasn't that well liked on the original Soka.
Because I feel like this is what we were shown. It just seems like there was a lot of overconfidence and I've got all these people. I don't know. That's what I was
thinking. There's going to be exit press that is going to say something that Josh did where we're all going to go, what? He did that. I feel like that's coming, because his tribe did not like him that much, but he really felt that he was in tight with them. So what went wrong? What was the disconnect there? Because his whole tribe was willing to sacrifice him. They didn't care at all. They don't feel like they lost a number.
Kind of immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they feel, I think you're right. I think they're really tight. And we saw Heidi and Lauren being tight. I think Jam Jam and Carolyn, they are in trouble for sure.
And I think they're
stuck back together.
Yeah, I think they are. But now I almost wonder, now that the initial boot is done, the initial merge boot, and now everybody is playing the individual game, are Jam Jam and Carolyn in trouble? Because I don't think people are going to see them as threatening moving through the next portion of the game.
Yeah.
You have a lot of big targets with Brandon and Danny and Matt And if you go over to the female side, I think Franny is going to start to become a threat to people because she is a very good social player. Like, she is a threat. I don't know. There's a woman with a broom. She looks good. I mean, I really like her. She looks amazing. Mike Bloom had a great tweet today of the conversation between Lauren and Heidi. And he took it and said, hey, do you think that like people at home know we're on this season? It was like, no. Yeah, and me either. And it's like, it's so funny because Heidi and Lauren have barely been there. But I mean, I think those players start to become more valuable now. And we saw Lauren admit that she does have an extra vote, which we know she didn't have to play tonight. So who does she start to go towards? Lauren, Heidi? I feel like they start going with Jamie and Matt and Franny and maybe Carolyn and Jam Jam. Like, I think you're going to see a little bit of a nerd squad here start taking some other people down, some of the bigger threats. I mean, that tends to be what happens around this point of the game, but I feel like more so this season it's going to happen.
Yeah, it is really interesting. We had Carson tell us that at the beginning, like Lauren's extra vote is just purely out there. And I kind of like that. One, because an extra vote, it isn't something as extreme as an idol. It's like, hey, Phil, by the way, I have this. Like, it's almost not a huge deal. And it also could present as I'm open for business because I have this extra thing here. I thought it was interesting that Carson, like, this probably will end up turning into nothing, but he like said he had a fake idol. I feel like that was to like get the target onto Jamie a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he had a big blunder with the Kane thing that ended up working out completely fine. But you see, even Brandon's like, dude, and he's like, I know. That was also what I liked. That was like very human. And that was just I thought I was working on trust with somebody and it just totally went the wrong way.
Yeah, it did. I thought that was a very interesting moment because Kane immediately ran over to everybody and immediately started asking questions. Yeah. And then Brandon deflected.
I guess he's lucky that Josh was like totally the one.
Yeah, Josh.
I think he did it pretty well.
Yeah, I thought I really liked Kane. I loved Brandon's response of just like, yeah, they all were saying they don't trust you while Brandon's over there like, I don't trust you. But
yeah,
it was like the complete opposite of Ellie and Gabler last season where Ellie said something to Gabler and Gabler was like, yeah, I said that. Like, I don't trust you at all. And as opposed to this season, like Brandon was like, all right, I guess I have to back off on trying to vote out Kane. But he does bring up a good point. Kane's eventually going to try to vote him out of the game. It's just it's going to happen. He is eventually going to try to vote him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't blame him for wanting to go after Kane, but when even the own tribe of somebody wants somebody to go home at the merge, you don't have a choice.
Yeah, it's not great. What else do we have on this?
Hang on, I gotta find. Matt had the episode title tonight, so I wanted to mark that.
Matt had the episode title and the most unhinged analogy, but also probably the best analogy because. He probably didn't mean for it to be like this, but it felt like an anti-analogy, and I'm here for that.
Yeah, it almost felt like he was just like, look, I'm just going to throw as much crap at you as possible. It's not going to have an endpoint. It's not going to make sense. It's just
Maybe that's what that vote is actually like. It probably is.
Yeah.
So do you think they... No, never mind. I'm looking at who voted for who. I was going to ask, do we think that they split purposefully, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like Kane and Josh felt really strongly about getting rid of Jam Jam. Brandon ended up voting for him too. And then everyone else voted for Josh except for Carolyn.
Yeah, I think they did purposefully split though because Kane said I'm voting for Jam Jam because he wanted to make sure that more votes came up Jam Jam than himself so that if there was an idol play, it would be Jam Jam who went home.
Yeah.
So I do think part of that at least was purposeful. I mean, really, we've only had six idols on this season so far. That's all we've had.
One idol per episode.
One idol per episode. But yeah, I don't know. I thought that was good. Wait, did we? I think we marked. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, yeah, I think it was purposefully done. I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. What do you think this weird twist is going to be next week? I know we're going to be in a place.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. That's what I think. Because what did they say? They said they said you will have no control over who goes home.
Who goes home?
I think that they're cutting out the beginning part of that, which is going be like, if you don't participate in this challenge, or if you're the first person out, or if we point at you because we don't want you to vote, you will have no say in who goes home. Like, I feel like there's a something before that. It's not going to be, oh, you were the first person out of the challenge, so you've been voted out. You don't have a say. I think it's just going to, I don't know what the twist is going to be. I've given up on trying to figure out the twist because I think most of them are nonsense, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. That'll be interesting one.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I just think with the 11 players we have left, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. I really do. Like, I totally, totally believe that there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. I do think they've actually elevated the character moments. You already talked about Jam Jam and Josh. Like, I think that's all there. But I still go back to, like, it's still so weird to watch, and I still don't feel like I'm enjoying it as much as I should be. And
yeah,
I mean, tonight's episode, I just thought it was so predictable from start to finish that it really did just feel like, okay, let's just get through this one. Like, let's just hurry up.
Yeah. Which is funny because we've talked about, we've done podcasts of like some of the best episodes, some of our favorite episodes, and they tend to always be ones where you totally know who's going home. Yeah. And this, I'm saying this as somebody who really liked this episode, minus all challenge situation, but it almost would have been better if, like, I guess I'm correcting myself here. It would have been better if they didn't even give Josh a chance and just let all those character moments between like Jam Jam, Josh, Carolyn, let all that continue to happen. But because on Survivor now, idols are the only topic of conversation, you couldn't have shown that episode without the idol being the main topic of conversation.
Yeah, because I think what frustrated me about it is we all knew Josh's idol was fake. And all of us at home knew. And based on how Josh had been edited, we also knew that everybody on Soka didn't like him. We knew everybody else didn't like him. But rather than try to develop the other characters and show the relationships that are, because that's what old school Survivor used to do, right? I love old school Survivor. And old school Survivor has so many boring boots. Like, let's be real, they have so many where you're like, oh my God, who cares about these 5 minutes and then the boot? But at least we watched everything before it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Boring in the total opposite way that boring boots happen now.
Yeah, because the thing is, during those episodes, sometimes in old school Survivor, the most boring boots would have some of the most exciting stuff going on before it. Whether that mean the rewards, character development, who's going to branch off, I might break away from this person, I'm going to move forward, blah, 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 like all that. Whereas tonight, I don't feel like they took advantage of this moment to make us start caring about like the other players, right? Like, I don't think that they took advantage of it to be like Franny and Matt. Yeah, they're developing that one really well.
Yeah, like, that's great.
Heidi and Lauren, other than them like sitting there next to each other and being like, I don't think he has it. What is the relationship actually becoming? Like, where was Dan? What's Danny's relationship? How did he feel about this person going home? Like, I just think on a predictable boot like this, there's a way to make this episode really good. And I just don't think tonight was it. I feel like not everything has to be chaotic. Not everything has to be unpredictable. Not everything has to be predictable. But when it is predictable, I want to see the character development across the board. Instead, I saw Jam Jam pretending that he might go home. And, you know, he thought he could go home. But, like, we knew he wasn't going to go home. At least I felt that way almost the entire episode. And then Carson walk into a blunder and Kane be like, hey, don't do this. But I didn't feel like we got like Kane and Carson growing together, or where do Carolyn and Jam Jam stand now? Like,
yeah, there could have been a lot of opportunity for like moving forward, giving us context, because I know when Heidi goes home 3 episodes from now, we're going to be like, why the heck did she go home? And there could have been a good like 4 minutes tonight where we could have seen something as to who she's close to and why she's close to them.
Yeah, like, let's build, like, on an episode like this where like nobody's really surprised Josh went home. I mean, maybe there's some people out there, but I feel like most people probably, like, when it started coming down, it's either going to be Josh, Jam Jam, or Kane. It was like see you later, Josh. Like, talk to you next time. I think that when you have an episode like this, especially since last week, should have been Josh's boot episode.
Yeah.
And he would have went home had Matthew not had the shoulder injury. So we'd already seen a lot of this. So let's start to see the other characters and how they're working together, what they want to do more than Matt and Franny. Cause we know Matt and Franny, we know that they're tight. We get it. And I'm happy to see more of it, but like, where is Lauren fitting in this? Where's Brandon fitting in this other than wanting to get rid of Kane? Who does he plan on working with to get rid of Kane? Who does Kane plan on working with other than Carson? Like, I just feel like there was an opportunity here that was missed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was just something that was so unexpected because Josh pretty much got two send-off episodes and Josh wasn't the most exciting character.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why it went this way and why it felt so unfulfilling to me. And there's really nothing the editors can do about that. But I hope in the future, if this happens and we're going to get a really predictable boot, go back and look at some of the early season stuff that was super predictable and watch how you built the relationships between characters that we were still getting to know, because we're only six episodes in. We're still not at the halfway point. So we're still trying to learn these people. Yeah. So let's learn a little bit more about them.
That's a good point about Josh having two boot episodes. He kind of almost had three. Like his first, when Sarah went home, his idol is the only reason that he was safe. True. So I think we've known for so long that Josh is on the bottom and that doesn't seem to be moving. So that's maybe what made this feel like, okay, this episode didn't matter because this was going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where Josh got a scarf, and I really like the black and pink buffs. And those are the final notes that I have.
Yes, the buffs are very nice. So I have one. We have a big one that we have to talk about. You brought it up very briefly at the beginning, but I think we need to talk about it a little bit more in depth. So one of the most powerful players in the game gets medevaced, and it's just like, hey, see you later. Doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Like, bye-bye. Come on. Like, that is, again, that is so damn lazy, especially since in this episode, we actually see
him,
Matthew, with Jamie when she finds the fake idol.
And that is so crucial because Carson thinks it's real. Jamie thinks it's real. That moment is going to prove very important, I assume.
Yeah. And I just think, again,
I feel for Matthew. And
yeah,
I was not the kindest last week about it. Like he was this season alongside Carolyn.
Yeah. And I think that more credit and attention should have been given to him, and it wasn't, and it's frustrating. And I think that this goes to show though, like how far we've come in from the real social dynamics of the game. And no matter how much they show the social dynamics, it doesn't matter because we have gotten so far away from the social aspect that somebody like Matthew, who we all thought was in total control of the Ratu tribe, who had an idol, who did all that stuff, he gets medevaced and we don't even get to hear somebody say, oh, that's real. I really wish I had Matthew here.
Yeah.
Because we're not getting things that are like where you actually stand with people. It's always one off, one off, one off, one off. And I don't know. I mean, it's, maybe that's how it has to be. Maybe that's just what the game has developed into. But I'm just so shocked.
Well, for what it's worth, like to really go into it, I mean, they don't know each other as long because the game is whatever, 30% shorter. They don't know each other as long. And they, to no fault of anyone's, like they're all playing the game. And like everyone's a game bot in Modern Survivor. And so they're like, okay, it's one step further for me. So
yeah.
It, what's just weird to me is they, instead of doing the previously on, they do these flashbacks really often. So that's why it was so jarring that there was nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I thought it was weird that they didn't show anything. But again, I think they didn't want to show whatever happened when Matthew either quit / was pulled from the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they want to show it. And it's weird, but like there should have been something about Matthew, how that impacts the games of people moving forward. How did that impact Brandon? How did that impact Carson? Because Carson was clearly working, could have worked with him. He gave Carson information. How did that impact Jamie? Who, all we get from Jamie, I mean, look, they are making Jamie seem like the most clueless human being on the planet. And I don't think she is, but that's how they're making her seem. Every confessional we're getting is she's the most powerful player. She has the most information. She's the most important, blah, blah, blah. And we all know that that's not true because she has this idol that is fake, that we know is fake. So we're sitting here literally in irony being like,
yeah, it's funny, like twice. It's funny twice.
And it just keeps going. But how is her game affected by Matthew not being there? Somebody who she probably couldn't wait to pair back up with.
We didn't even get to hear her say that. Yeah.
Zero. It's dumb. Yeah. That's frustrating. It's frustrating. And I guess like when I go back and I watch these older seasons, and I'm talking like older seasons, like season 32, season 35, like I'm not talking that long ago. These were things that were happening. There was a repercussion because blah, blah, blah went home last week. And now I feel like it's like, okay, good. That person's gone. Let's focus on the next thing. And I think that's why last season, when somebody like Gabler wins, it's so confusing because after Ellie's gone, we're pretty much being trained like, okay, she's gone. Move on. Next. We used to focus. There used to be a little bit of focus on the players who were out of the game. Their names would come up. Conversation would happen. If I had this person, I could have done so much more. Like, that doesn't happen anymore.
How many times was, like, Morgan, the second person voted out of Ghost Island, referenced on that season? She was brought up, like, at the final tribal council.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's just different. It's just different. And, you know, I'll be old man yelling at cloud. I don't really care. I mean, I'll yell and shout and scream it from the mountaintops. And if people don't want to hear it, I mean, sorry, but this is how I feel. And this is Alexa and I've always said on this podcast, we're going to say how we feel. And that's how I feel. And luckily you all have Alexa who liked the episode. So you can listen to her and you can mute me when I talk. But I don't know. I mean, La Morena says it again. Look, this is the second time throwing her up. Boom. Maybe they should go back to 39 days. Maybe
100%.
Maybe they should because this is where we're feeling it now. I feel like it's hard to tell when you just sit down and watch the episode.
It's very subconscious.
But yeah, it is something that you start to realize when you're like, well, maybe nothing happened in that 24-hour window where there was an immunity challenge and then a merge and then maybe nothing happened. Maybe there weren't any conversations. Because you have to think, when they go challenge, merge, tribal, right? Or what? Yeah, like boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Or they merge, challenge, tribal. That's not much time if it's only a day or two for the camera people to do the one-off interviews with everybody that actually result in confession. It's just not a lot of time.
And there's not enough time. There's less camp life time. And having no rewards, which I get people complained about them, but I liked them because we're now realizing, like, sure, they didn't move the game forward, but they actually absolutely did. To being pissed off that you don't get to be chosen on a reward or to be given food or to build new relationships with people, there's no opportunities to do that. There's no external apart from camp opportunities. They don't even like Matt talk anymore. Or maybe they do, but they just don't show it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
They did let Matt talk for anybody who was concerned. Matt had quite a few confessionals tonight, but you're right. They don't the Matt talk thing. Sorry, I couldn't help myself because when you said that's where my head went. And I was like, what?
He's a dad.
Yeah, I couldn't help it. So I just wanted to look real quick. How many
prophets? Josh got eight. Oh, but he's maybe it's more than 10.
It was nine, but is it nine with – he only went to two tribals, right? No, he went to three.
He went to three.
So he got two when Sarah – no, he only went to two because he got two when Sarah went home and then he got seven tonight, right?
He got one, two, three, five, six. Yeah, seven tonight. He got nothing last week.
And then two the one
week. Ugh, wow.
So he ended with nine. So Josh, after last week where Matthew was like the prop bet MVP, Josh only got a hidden immunity idol. He didn't use his shot in the dark. He didn't go home with an unused advantage. Never had an episode title. Didn't have 40 plus. Didn't have a confessional in every episode. Didn't find the cage idol. Didn't blur his mouth. Didn't have 10 plus confessionals. Didn't sit out three times. Didn't hug Jeff. Didn't make the jury. Didn't blindfold. Didn't win individual immunity. Didn't have five or less. Didn't have 10 or more. Didn't cry and didn't win. Josh got you one thing. And by the way, something we didn't talk about. Carson and Jamie both got hidden immunity idols technically, right? Because they were like the temp.
Oh yeah, they did.
So we put those in now. But yeah, Josh got
Claire vote for thing. Josh. Someone said Claire may have voted for Josh. That's sure about that. I think Claire did vote. No.
No, Claire. Claire didn't vote.
She played her shot in the dark.
She did. Yeah, she played her shot in the dark because she knew she was going home.
Cool.
Yep. Easy. So 9. Yeah. So that's crazy. Josh had less things accomplished than Sarah and Bruce. He had less things accomplished than Bruce.
Stop that.
It's crazy. And Helen and Maddie. So yeah, Josh only got one thing here.
That's
I know they weren't hidden idols, but it's technically a hidden immunity. Like we just said, any type of immunity
idol.
That's not the case.
Carolyn and Jamie cried, but I think they both already have. Matt got the episode title.
There wasn't really anything else. I don't know about the 10 plus confessionals. I don't think that happened, but we'll check.
No.
Danny can no longer get a confessional in every episode because he didn't get one tonight. But yeah, there wasn't much going on tonight.
Who can still have a confessional in every episode? I ask this as I can just look. But for the viewers at home.
Let me make sure this is correct. So Carolyn, Jam Jam, Brandon, Carson, Franny, Matt, and that's it. So no Jamie, no Danny, no woman with broom, which is Lauren, who I feel really bad for. No Kane, and no Heidi.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah, I do. Lauren, man, she can't catch a freaking break. Every time they're like, they did like the one conversation, and they you could hear that they were gonna cut the confessional. I'm like, Lauren, and then it was
Heidi. Come on, Lauren. I know it's brutal, but so I'm glad she's being fun about it.
She still has more confessionals than Heidi, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she had 7 in the first episode.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
You go ahead.
No, I got nothing left. I'm done.
Okay. We have a really exciting guest this week. This is somebody we've been wanting to talk to for, I can't really say a while because it hasn't been a while. We are going to be joined by season 42 runner-up Mike Turner. He is going to be joining us on the podcast on this upcoming Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Yes, we planned ahead. I understand that's shocking. We're so excited to talk to him. Mike was a huge favorite on this podcast when he was playing, and we think he's going to be a really fun guest to have on for Power Rankings. So make sure to tune in this coming Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern for that. Phil is going to be doing his after show, I assume tomorrow because it's 11 o'clock. Oh my God, I need to go to bed. And for those of you who probably saw our Instagram post, tune into Survivor Rewind. You get an extra podcast. This is hosted by John and McKenna, who you've probably seen just floating around a few other podcasts on our channel. And if you're a patron, you get double content on that front typically by Saturdays. So become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. And you'll see us on Monday at 6 p.m.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.